All right, going to go to one of my favorite books in the Bible, Proverbs, for tonight, and chapter number 8. Proverbs chapter number 8. Now, as you find Proverbs 8, 32 through 35, as it shows now up on the screen, I want to just give you somewhat of a brief introduction. Much of our lives are spent just hanging out. You realize that? Now, some of you guys get here early for church just so you can hang out. Some of you stay really late after church just hanging out. And you know what? I got to tell you this one thing. I love that. I really do. I think that is signs of a healthy church. People that like to be together. People that want to be together. When we were in Salt Lake City, we had a church that liked to hang out. And because the reason at Mountainside Baptist is we were very, very sparse as a population in the Salt Lake Valley as Christians. And so when we got together on Sundays and Wednesdays, we needed to be together. I mean, we needed to lean on each other, and we could find some common ground. And of course, there were a lot of friendships there and things. And usually on Sunday nights, I mean, you know, it was like I'd been in church all day and Sunday nights, and I'd go back, put all my stuff up, and I'd just say, hey, guys, come on, let's get out of here. And we'd go down to this little restaurant, kind of like a Denny's. It's known as Village Inn, if you've ever heard of it. And there was one right around the corner from our church, and we'd just go to Village Inn, or as one of our little girls used to call it, Billy Jim's. She thought we were saying Billy Jim or Billy Jim. I don't know. Anyway, that's what she called it, so we all called it Billy Jim's. And we'd go down there, and we'd just eat pancakes or waffles or crepes. You ever had crepes? I didn't think real men ate crepes, but they're actually pretty good. And so we'd just hang out and have a great time. And we'd have a whole section of the restaurant, basically, just to hang out, just to spend time together. And it was a Sunday night tradition like no other. Seriously, it was a great, great fun. Many times after work, we tend to want to just hang out. On weekends, we might find time to hang out with friends or family. We might have somebody over just to hang out and watch the game. Sorry, Tech fans. It was a great game, though, wasn't it? Or we might want to meet someone at the restaurant and just hang out. But let me ask you something. Have you ever thought much about the fact that God desires to hang out with you? Really? Have you ever given it much thought? You know, how many of you, be honest, you were the cool kids in school? Chris is like, yep, that was me. I was the cool kid. I was the only one bold enough to admit I was the cool kid, right? You were the one that everybody wanted to hang out with. Most of us, let's be honest, most of us were the ones kind of on the outside looking in. We were kind of the ones that we wanted to be the cool kids and hang out there, but we just didn't ever quite make it into the cool crowd. Well, guess what? You are the cool crowd to God. You are. God wants to hang out. He doesn't care that you're a nerd. He doesn't care that you know, even bigger than that, He doesn't care that you're a sinner. He doesn't care that you are inescapably helpless. Sometimes He really, truly wants to hang out with you. That's an awesome thought, isn't it? That the God of the universe wants to hang out with you. We can be fooled by misconceptions about who God is and what His desire is for our lives. Many of us, and listen, we're very guilty of this, having grown up and been around fundamental Baptist circles our whole lives. Many of us get this misconception that God is this really big guy with white hair And he's an angry, grandfatherly type of figure just waiting for us to mess up so he can punish us. Maybe he's got a, 2,000-foot ruler, and he's waiting to snap you on the wrist for what you've just done. Now, think about that for a second. Sometimes that's the conception we get, or the perception we get, of God. That he is just constantly angry at us. Because we are certainly, admittedly, not the cool crowd. Ever think that way? Ever have kind of God in that capacity in your mind? I want to tell you today, it's just not the case. In fact, we ask ourselves, was this the way Jesus acted? Think about the way Jesus acted when the woman caught in adultery was brought to him that morning in Jerusalem. Think about that. Was he angry? Was he upset at that woman? In fact, he showed her maybe the greatest compassion ever when he asked her where her accusers were. And she said, man, they all left. And what did he say? He's the gray-haired, big beard, large fellow growling at her, right? Because of the insanity of her life. That's not what he said, is it? That's not the way he acted. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way and sin no more, is what he said. And there is this compassion in his voice for her. And many times we get this idea that God is just waiting for us to mess up so he can slap us. Admit it. You've thought that. But that's not really the way God is. Because of this, we know that Jesus is the personification of God. Jesus is God in the flesh. And he came to this earth to have relationships with man. How many times did Peter blow it in front of Jesus? Countless almost, right? We know many of them. One of these days we will study the life of Peter. You will be absolutely blown away by a study of the life of Peter as to how much we all are like him. I believe that's why the Bible records so much about Peter's life in it. But every time, now granted, I'm sure there was a time or two that Jesus went, come on, Pete. Come on, man. You know better than that. But most of the time it was, Peter, it's really me. Hop out of the boat. Walk on the water with me. Come on. I mean, I think Jesus really appreciated his desire. And he was 100% in, man, wasn't he? I think Jesus really appreciated that. Jesus certainly wanted to have a relationship with Peter, didn't he? He proved that over and over again. Finally, in John 21, he proved that as a fact around the campfire that morning when they were having fish for breakfast. Didn't he prove it to him? Restored him threefold. Peter went on just a few pages later in your Bible to preach the great Pentecost message. Man, all because Jesus wanted to hang out with Peter. Isn't it something to think about? Through what we learn about our Lord Jesus and what we know he has done for us, we have to be certain that God wants to have a relationship with us, his beloved creation. We need to come to the knowledge and understanding that the God of the universe desires to spend time with us. He desires to hang out with us. We need to know that it's okay for us to hang out with God. It's okay. And we need to want that seek that. And in fact, this is just another in the continuing line of pathways to blessing. In the scripture before us, Solomon writes words of great wisdom. From these verses, we actually have a text, not off your phone, not that kind of text, but a text in the scriptures. I say that because it's a little bit unusual for Proverbs, especially the Proverbs that Solomon wrote. You agree with me? You ever read the Proverbs? I mean, it's hard to read more than about a few verses of Proverbs at a time because the themes change, the instruction changes, the mood changes. Everything is different. It just kind of comes at you like a machine gun. You know? It's just kind of scattered out there. And so it's kind of unusual we actually have a text here in Proverbs, because normally he writes with some quick quotes, some thoughts for the day, if you will, or maybe some pros and cons. If you do this, then this will happen. But if you do this, then this will happen. Thoughts for the day, like, if thou faintest in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Well, I would just hang on to that, because it's a great thought in the Proverbs. So I suppose having this actual text is what makes these verses stand out and lead us toward this potential blessing. So let's see what we might find. Read with me Proverbs 8:32. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for, what's that next word? Blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man or woman that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Boy, those are great words. In fact, someday pretty soon, I'm going to really, really start challenging you to begin or begin again memorizing Scripture. Now, if you're like most people, adults that I've dealt with in this, they always look at me like, well, I can't even remember my phone number. You know, I can't remember anything. And man, I tell you what, I just want to say this. You might not be able to, but God can give you the equipment to do it. And it's His Word and it's your mind that He created to give you the opportunity to memorize Scripture. And there is a verse of Scripture right here that deserves to be committed to memory, and it's verse 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. And I believe that's worth committing to memory because it needs to be something that absolutely grips us every single day. That we need to be ready to hang out with God every day. Because He's ready to bless us for it. I mean, doesn't that excite you just a little bit? That God wants to hang out with you and He promises a blessing if we'll hear Him. So here we go. Let's break this down, beginning in verse 32. In verse 32, we're going to fill in our paper with the first point from verse 32, words from God's Word. Boy, that's original, isn't it? Filling in the blanks, words from God's Word. Can you see that, or do I need to turn those choir lights off? You see it okay? Everybody? Okay. Words from God's Word. And this is, in verse 32, a really, really simple instruction, isn't it? Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Is that not pretty simple? I mean, that's really elementary. Sunday school kids could figure that one out. It's really, really easy. And we know, since this verse shows up within the pages of our Bibles, that God spoke them through Solomon. A very simple instruction. Therefore, we are getting from verse 32 a, hey you, buck up and listen. That's what we're getting from this verse. We are getting a swift buck up and listen word from God. He says, therefore, hearken unto me. Listen to me. Are there lots of different sources and people to potentially listen to today that are supposed experts? Yes or no? Yes. And we are bombarded by what they have to say. Now, is what they have to say all bad? Not necessarily. But let me just tell you something, that if you're hearing something from God, it is nothing bad. It is all going to be something worthwhile for us to hear. So he's saying to us, buck up and listen to what I have to say. This is the reason here for the word children. Okay? Because don't you know that that kind of puts us in our place? Now, we call ourselves children of God, right? In the Old Testament, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, following the Lord day by day to the promised land, right? They were given instructions. Let's take one for instance. They were given instructions on how to eat in the desert, right? And God even provided it for them. God provided them manna from above, but he gave them instructions for it. Why? Because they were the children of God. They were the children of Israel as they were walking along in the desert. And this was a really simple instruction, was it not? That he gave them with manna. Pick up enough manna for you and your house for that day. And then on Friday, pick up enough for you and your family for today and tomorrow. But did they do that? Now listen, guys, is that simple instruction? But what happened? Some of them, after the first day, they go outside and they go, holy cow, the ground is, what is this on the ground? And that's how it got its name, manna. Do you know that's what manna means? It means, what is it? That's what the word means. That's how it got its name. They went outside their tents and they went, holy cow, what is it? That's the Daniel Standard Version. But that seriously is what manna means. What is it? And so they went out and they gathered up, and some of them gathered up and they didn't believe that it would come back the next day, so they gathered up enough for the week. And what happened? Just according to God's instruction, it went bad. Boy, have you ever had something go bad in the fridge? You didn't really see it, but it got kind of back in the back of the fridge, and you know, it was there for weeks and months and maybe even years. And then one day, you know, you open the fridge, you go, oh man, what's going on in here? And you start digging around, you know, you move the 13 jars of pickles that you have for whatever reason, and three kinds of mustard and all that kind of stuff all the way back into the back. Oh man, it's like some sort of a science fair creation back there. Got hair all over it, you know, and you're just like, we don't even keep the container that's in, man. We just go outside and put it in the incinerator. We just burn that thing. That's kind of like what happened to the manna. I mean, it just went bad. It stunk. And don't you know that, wouldn't it just be your luck and my luck that we'd be next door to the neighbor that took up too much and it starts stinking up our tent too? Isn't that just right? And then, of course, we get 6 days in and it's time to pick up enough for 2 days, right? Because we're not going to pick up manna on the Sabbath. We're going to worship the Lord on the Sabbath. And what did they do? They just got enough for one day. Because they thought they had learned. What were they not doing? Listening to the instruction as children. Children, simple instruction. And what happened? On the Sabbath, they walked outside and they were like, hey, where's our food for the day? Duh. You got your instruction. You didn't pick it up. There was enough here yesterday for today. You'll be starving today because you ain't getting none of my manna. We'll see you tomorrow as we go collect when it shows up again. Pretty simple instruction, right? And that's Solomon. Now therefore, hearken, listen unto me. Buck up and listen, children. It is necessary most times to make an effort to get a child's attention. Right? God knows it's necessary for Him to get us, His children's, attention. And He has ways to do that. Hopefully, we enjoy hanging out with God so much that He's got our attention often. But if not, God's got His ways. God is certainly attempting to do so here. And I want you to note something coming up here on the screen. Even though we are children of Adam, that is, sin has been just passed right on down to us, right from Adam and Eve. Even though we are still children of Adam, God desires to have relationship with us. Otherwise, the last part of verse 32 would not be there. For blessed are they that keep His ways, if we hearken unto His instruction. So one of the greatest privileges we know as believers is that God wants to speak to us. The last lines to fill in right there on that portion. One of the greatest privileges we know as believers is that God wants to speak to us. The question is will you listen? Will you hang out with God and listen? If so, these words will give us hope and a path toward blessing. Now, look in verse 33, and let's see the wisdom to guide our ways. The wisdom to guide our ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. This is wisdom to guide our ways. Now, if God is going to give us instruction, and He is the Almighty Creator, do you think that we should listen to Him? Okay, do you think God knows everything? Do you really believe that? Okay, if you do, and He's going to tell you something, do you think what He's going to tell you is going to be worthwhile? Okay, so then is it worth our while to listen? To want to hang out with God? What are we going to get from Him? Wisdom to guide our ways. This verse tells us that His instruction is going to make us wise. That's what it says. Hear instruction and be wise. Don't refuse it. So let me tell you what wisdom is. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. That's what wisdom is. And who wants to give you knowledge? Where are you going to get knowledge? Where are you going to get the instruction to know? From the Lord. Okay? So once you have the knowledge, once you put that knowledge into use, guess what? You're not going to fool me anymore. You are now wise. Because that's what wisdom is. Knowledge applied, or the application of knowledge. Flip over just a couple of pages to Proverbs chapter 4. And let's see what it has to say in verse 5. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 5. Solomon, still writing here, says, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth." Being in the Scriptures, this is going to be God's Word that he's talking about. Verse 7, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." That's putting it into practice, knowing what's going on. Then, flip over to chapter 16 and verse 16. Proverbs 16:16 says, "How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver." So how precious, how important is wisdom? It's the principal thing. So it is, if it's going to be the application of knowledge, it's going to be what's going to guide our ways. It is taking the instruction from God and using it in the correct manner. And then the end of that verse says, "Do not refuse wisdom." Don't refuse it. Don't say, "God, really? You think you know better than me? I've lived 50 years, you've lived forever. Surely you don't know any better than I would know." But how many times, I mean, that sounds comical, right? But how many times are we like, "God, that's baloney. This morality stuff and things like that, you know, come on. We know better. We've become more sophisticated than all that." Nope. Still the right way. It's still God's leadership. It's still God's knowledge. It's still God's instruction. And when we follow God's ways, we are on the pathway to blessing. Well, I had a quick story to tell, but I don't have time for it. Do not refuse it. Literally, it means do not hear it and dismiss it. Okay? Don't hear what God has to say and then go, "I got a better idea." Just don't do that. All right? So that's wisdom to guide our ways. Verse 33. Verse 34 now. This is our real focus verse, which says, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors." So we are to watch and wait for the blessing. Watch and wait for the blessing. Now I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, "I can't even wait 32 seconds for my Big Mac and fries at McDonald's." And we know God doesn't work faster than 32 seconds. Because we have a God who is always just in time. Amen? How many of you have waited and waited and waited and waited and there's just this last minute like, "Whoop, this is what we got to do." And you were about to go, "Whoop," the other way. But God said, "Ha, glad you were listening, because we need to do it this way." We literally were hours away one time from signing the papers to buy a home when God said, "It's really time to move to Salt Lake City. It's not time to buy a home in Claremore and stay here. It's time to take the pastorate in Salt Lake City." We were literally just hours away from signing papers to buy a house. Now, you're talking about last minute deadlines. That was a stretch, wasn't it? That was a little scary. Because we were just like, "God, where are we going? What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing?" We'd been asking for weeks. "What are we doing? What are we doing?" And then God just made, "Okay, this is what we're doing." I was like, "Whew, God, you showed up just in time." Just in time. But what were we doing? We were watching and waiting. Watching and waiting. And we have to do this patiently. This is a learned skill, but it is possible. We must practice and discipline our lives this way. Again, this is a learned skill, but if we desire to be blessed, we will learn it. So let me ask you, do you desire to be blessed? I assume so, because you're here. You know what we're going to be talking about. So if you desire to be blessed, you will learn to watch and wait. Watch and wait. So the blessing comes when we hear, okay, hear instruction and be wise, verse 33 says, blessed is the man that heareth me. The word hear right here means give full attention with the intent on obeying the instruction and being contented with the instruction that's given. I know that's kind of a long definition there, but that's what it means, to give full attention with the intent on obeying the instruction and being content with the instruction given. So we are given a twofold position for hearing. First, what is it? To watch. To watch means that we are going to stay alert or be on the lookout. Stay alert or be on the lookout is what the word watch means. It is such a new thing for me to have these handouts and the stuff popping up. And it's a real test of my faith that somebody's actually watching, staying alert, that Cynthia or Belinda hadn't fallen asleep on the keyboard up there. Gunk. I have to continue to be exciting. But they don't even get to watch me. It's like I look up there sometimes and just throw your hand up. There you are. See there? All right. There's a wave right there. I'm like, I'm just hoping that somebody, trusting that somebody is staying alert up there to click the space bar one more time, that the next thing's going to pop up and there it is. But guess what? That's the way our lives should be. We should be watching, staying alert, being on the lookout for God's needed instruction for our daily lives. And the Bible says that if we're doing that, we will be blessed. He's going to bless us. He's going to lead us in a proper fashion. So once we watch, then what do? We also wait. That means to guard in order to protect or to attend to. To wait means to guard in order to protect or to attend to. And the idea behind this teaching is that we should stand at our post every single day, alert and ready for what God's instruction is for us for the next little while. It could be just enough for the next few hours. It could be just enough for the next few days. It could be enough for the next few decades. But if we're not watching and waiting, alert and on guard, we might just miss a blessing. We might go down a wrong path away from the leadership of the Lord because we're not hearing His instruction. Now let me ask you something. If you lived in the most dangerous neighborhood or place on the planet, and for that reason you were afforded the income to hire watchmen to keep post around your place, are you going to hire somebody who is naturally given to falling asleep in church? Or are you going to hire the insomniac? What are you going to do? Surely, if you've got the money and you know that your place could be raided at any moment and you need people watching your place, you're going to hire somebody that's going to do their job. Right? You are going to hire somebody that's going to be the best that they can possibly be at any hour of the day or night, especially the night. And that's the way we should be with the instructions that God wants to give us. We should be alert and on guard, ready to hear the instruction. Again, the idea behind this is that we should take our post daily, waiting for God's instruction. Because verse 35 gives us the promise. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. This is what we have to remember. Whosoever will can find this blessing. Whosoever will can find this blessing. So you want to find it? I hope so. Guess who it's available for? Whosoever. Don't you know what the word whosoever means? It means whosoever. That's brilliant, isn't it? I hope we got that on tape. We don't use tape anymore. I hope we got that on whatever.
No, that's okay. That was pretty funny, though. She just turned me off just like because I wasn't on tape anymore. Whosoever means you, means me, means if we, whoever. Isn't that great? So this blessing is attainable for all of us. This blessing is attainable for all of us. I'm just going to flip really quickly to Psalm 119. In verse 2, it says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Matthew 7:7, love this verse. Matthew 7:7 says, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. For he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. I want you to know that the blessing here is attainable for all of us because God wants to hang out with you. He wants to bless you. God wants to hang out with you. I guess then the question for us is this: do we really want to hang out with God? I guess we'll find out in the morning, huh? Guess we'll find out tomorrow, huh?